Amen. Preach the Bible. I put my messages where I can find them, but I never can find them. Amen. It's in here somewhere. Here it is. Here it is. All right. Psalm 56. Been a while since I've preached this message years ago. Been a while. And this past month, it seems like it's been a roller coaster for us. And I think about the Lord, how the Lord knows all this stuff. He knows what we're going through. He knows everything. And I know I can trust him. I know God can, I know he's in control. And Psalm 56, let's read this verse down here. Start at verse 7. Shall they escape by iniquity in thine anger, cast down the people, O God? He says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not written in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God, and I will render praises unto thee. All right, let's use this right here from right now. I'll change the batteries out while I'm preaching. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Yes. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, amen, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I pray, God, that you fill us with your spirit now. I pray, have your will and way. Lord, use the message to encourage the saints. Save the soul nearest hell, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you read your Bible, if you read your Bible every day, you'll find the Bible is full of tears all the way through it. I mean, it started out in the Garden of Eden. They say the lilies grew as a result of Adam and Eve leaving the garden weeping and crying. And crying goes on, and it goes on, and we're going to go through some crying in this life. And it seems like I've cried and cried and cried and cried this month. And my wife and I both cried. We've cried with our church. We've cried with individual people. And the tears in the garden, man, it goes when Adam and Eve sin, and it's going to go all the way to the book of Revelation. That tears all the way through here. And the Bible talks about David cried with his men, his mighty men. I was taught as a kid, if you cried, then you're a sissy. But I found out it takes more of a man to cry than it does anybody, you know, any guy trying to be tough. As a kid, my father put it in my head, if you cry, you're a sissy. And what that does, it makes you hard. And I mean, you get hard, and don't cry about anything. I've seen people at funerals that lose loved ones and friends and everything, and they just sit there and stare at you, and why? They get hard. I got hard after my brother was killed. I went outside. I said, God, you blankety blank, if you're up there, I want to know. And I got hard, and I wouldn't cry over things. And the only time I cried was when I got drunk. And I got drunk. I went out to the gravesite of my brother and laid there and cried and asked him, forgive me. But I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to get through this life without crying. You ain't going to get through it, man. You're going to cry some tears, and you're going to shed some tears, and this life is full of tears. And all the way through the Bible, you know what? There's a guy in the Bible, they call him, his name is Jeremiah. He's called the weeping prophet. That dude cried, and he cried because he knew what God said was going to happen. And he wept over the people of God. And I'm telling you something, folks, Jesus Christ, if you read your Bible, you'll find Jesus Christ weeping. And he'll find him weeping over people. You'll find him weeping over Jerusalem. We'll look at that in a minute. But Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And he knew all the things that were going to happen. You know why? In Jeremiah, he wrote down, he said, Rachel weeping for her children. Talking about the time when Jesus Christ was going to be born. And Rome was going to be in power. And they're going to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. And he said, I heard Rachel weeping for her children. I mean, man, all the way through life, since Adam and Eve sinned, it's always been a veil of tears in this life. And we're going to cry probably some more over loved ones and friends that we've seen and that's going to go on. And man, as this thing carries on, as it goes on. I know this. I know God gives us a promise in the book of Revelation. God gives us a promise that one day, take your Bible, look in Revelation chapter 21. God gives us a promise that there's going to be no more tears. Hallelujah. Look over in the book of Revelation. Look what it says. Last book of the Bible. Look what it says. God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. I mean, I'm glad that's in the Word of God. Boy, I'm so glad, because when Adam and Eve came out of the garden weeping and crying, and then all the way through this life and all the way through the Bible, you'll find tears and people weeping and crying. And David said, put thou my tears in thy bottle. And he said, are they not in thy book? You mean to tell me that God, well, every time I weep, God's catching them tears and God's writing them down every time I've cried? And I've thought about this. If God's doing that, then when I get to heaven, will there be two bottles? There'll be bottles that things that I've caused and brought upon myself that I've wept over. And there'll be a bottle for righteousness and for his sake that I've done and wept over things and over souls of men. I mean, I've thought about that. Would there be two bottles? And I said, man, I hope if there is, that I'd fill the bottle up of righteousness and things that I've wept for souls of men and cared about my brothers and sisters in Christ and wept with them. Because the Bible says, weep with those that weep and man, mourn with those that mourn. And I mean, this life is full of tears, man. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And that's the last part in the book of Revelation. I believe this, that you say, why is God wiping away tears in Revelation chapter 21? Because the white throne judgment has just happened. I don't have it up here. Right here, the white throne judgment will take place. And God's going to wipe away tears. And I believe this, God's going to wipe away the memory of those that are lost and gone to hell. I believe that. I've wept at my mama's grave. I wept at my dad's grave. I wept at so many others' graves. A man, you know, people will weep over strange things. People weep over TV shows, which is not real. I mean, I don't think there's nothing wrong weeping over animals, but I went to school when I was going to Bible school. I mean, there's people that, man, they're more concerned about animals than they are the souls of men. Well, you get so caught, I got dogs. I've wept over dogs. I've buried dogs. I've had to shoot a dog. I've cried over that dog. And I've had bad dreams that dog was going to testify to me on me at the judgment seat of Christ. Stand before God. So I was a good dog to him, and he didn't treat me right. He made me out there in the cold. I had dreams about that stuff, man. I woke up in a cold sweat thinking about it. But, man, people weep over animals, but animals don't have an eternal soul. They don't have an eternal soul, but man does. You know, the Bible talks about weeping. And all the way through the Bible, like I said, there's tears. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ weeping. I said that a minute ago. I mean, we'll weep over children. We'll weep over trouble. We'll weep over all kinds of things. And nothing wrong with that. And God is moved by tears. God is moved by tears. You know what? We're moved by tears. When I hear a baby cry, I go, oh, God. Mamas know when that baby, they know when that baby's hurting real bad. When they hear that baby crying, they'll say, oh, that's just whining tears. But a mama knows when the baby cries, and that is a real cry, that mama knows. And man, I'll tell you what, God is touched with tears. God is touched when man goes through things. Mamas and dads are touched by tears. It tears our hearts out. But God is touched by tears. And Jesus Christ, we know, read in the Bible that Jesus Christ wept. He wept in Luke chapter 19, 40, 41 over Jerusalem. Why did he weep over Jerusalem? Because he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He stood there looking at it. You know why? Because he knew that was going to happen. And he wept over it because they rejected him. You know what? And when he stood there and weeping over them, he could see the armies of the world, the Gentile world coming in and destroying the Jewish people, his kin, his loved ones. Jesus Christ, everybody knows in John chapter 11, when Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, even though he knew what he was going to do, he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the grave. And that had to be a wild sight. Because why? Because Lazarus was bound hand and foot. And the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus either floated out of there, or the bands came off, or man, something wild happened. And the Bible says before that, Mary came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Then she said, I know you, Jesus, I'm the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then she said, you believe this? She goes, Lord, I believe it. And the Bible says the Lord raised Lazarus with tears running down his face. Man, I think about Jesus weeping. He wept in the Bible talks about weeping in the garden.
Yeah.
When he came in the garden.
Yes, sir.
When he sweat great drops of blood, he wept.
Yes.
I thought about this. Did Jesus, the Bible doesn't record him laughing.
One day he will.
The Bible doesn't record at all
right.
of him laughing.
Right.
You said, preacher, do you believe he ever laughed? I believe Jesus laughed.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe God's got a sense of humor. I don't believe God's sitting up there in heaven like this, like a lot of people portray him as. I don't think he's sitting up there looking down at everybody mad. Now, the Bible says that he loves his children. Now, the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. He is angry with the wicked. Don't get me wrong. The Lord is angry with the wicked, man. But I believe, you know, I believe the Lord laughed at times. Jesus Christ on this planet, I believe he laughed. I believe he laughed at the disciples. You know what? We laugh at crazy things. We like to laugh. But sometimes laughter gets you into sin. Why? Because you say, man, I'm so miserable. Rather than going to the Word, rather than getting comfort from God, because the Bible says you get comfort from the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Comforter is inside you.
Yes, sir.
We'll go and watch some comedian on our phone, or and he'll get dirty every time. And why is it that comedians now can't be clean? They got to be dirty in their talk and their acts and everything else. They got to say something filthy for you to laugh.
Amen. Wicked. That's right.
That's wrong.
Amen.
I believe Jesus laughed. But I don't believe he laughed at wicked things when people come and tell you jokes.
Amen.
I asked the Lord a long time ago, Lord, if somebody comes to tell me, I work with roofers, and I said, if somebody comes and tells me a dirty joke, Lord, help me not to laugh. Even if it's funny. I've had to bite my lip. Somebody's told me a dirty joke. First I say to them this. I say, hey, is it clean? And they always say, oh, yeah, it's clean. It's clean. I had a guy tell me one time, he says, I want you to see this movie. There's no cuss words. I mean, the very first 5 minutes they were using the F-bomb. I had to cut the thing off. My wife yelled, and I said, cut that thing off.
Amen.
He said, did Jesus laugh? I believe he did. But we're looking to be happy all the time. And we get into sin.
Amen.
Jesus wept.
Amen.
Nowhere in the Bible records him laughing. You know the Bible says God will laugh?
That's right. You have intervention.
God will laugh. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs chapter 1.
That's right.
Look at this. Proverbs chapter 1. You want to find out God laughing? Here's what God's going to laugh at. Now we laugh at people falling down. And we laugh at people making mistakes and falling down, doing something stupid. You know, they say the famous last words of a redneck is, hey, guys, watch this. And we watch the videos of a guy about breaking his neck. You see, guys on roller skates, that's some of the funnies. They come down, they think they're cool. They make their roller skate jump, and they jump down to the pole, and all of a sudden, boom, and they fall down. It makes you laugh. We're laughing at somebody else's expense. They've hurt. But the Bible says God's going to laugh. And God's going to laugh at their calamity. I don't want the Lord to laugh when at destruction, my destruction.
Amen. Amen.
Look in Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 26. I also, God talking, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? The Lord mocking? Why? For so long, this world, you know, you think about this in the 60s it started, or actually way back it started. Man's trying to get rid of God. And they're trying to get rid of conviction. They're trying to get rid of any kind of Holy Spirit of God dealing with people. They're trying to get rid of it. So, and then you read your Bible, you read over in the Revelation, you'll find all this hell breaking loose. I mean, you know, people say, oh, this is hell on earth. One day it's going to be. I tell them, I said, this is the only part of hell I ever see, man.
Yeah.
If I'm saved, this is the only part of it. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
If the hell is here, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But one day, man, the Lord said he's going to bring judgment, and he said man's going to cry out.
Yeah.
And he says, I'll laugh at you.
Yes, sir.
They go outside. They say, blankety blank, Jesus Christ. They crucified the Son of God. They made fun of him. They spit on him. And that's why it's so important for you not to mock God. You might say, how do I mock God? You mock God in your life.
That's right.
Yeah. Come on.
If you're saved and you're not living for God, I'm telling you something, you're mocking God. That's pretty rough. So I am not. Yes, you are by your life. So that's pretty hard, preacher. Today is Pentecost. June the 12th is Pentecost. If the Lord is going to come back anytime, I don't know when he's coming, he's going to come back on a feast day of what the Bible has. Either it's going to be Pentecost, or it'd be the Feast of the Tabernacles, or it'd be Passover. I kind of believe it's going to be Passover. But today, June the 12th, 2016, is 50 days after Passover. And how many of y'all know what happened 50 days after Passover after Jesus Christ was crucified? How many of y'all know? You read the book of Acts, chapter 2. If you read Acts, chapter 2, that was on the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and preached. And the Bible says every man heard him speak in their own language. Why? Because there was Jews from all over the world that came to Jerusalem. And the Lord cared that much about him that when he spoke through Peter and he preached, everybody heard him in German, English, Portuguese. I mean, whatever the language was, Russian. And I mean, whatever the language was, they heard their Peter preach in their own language. That shows you how much God cares. God made man. I've had people tell me, if God made man, why does he let us suffer the way we suffer? Man chose. You choose. God's going to laugh. He'll laugh one day at the calamity of the world. You know why he's laughing? Because in Revelation chapter 16, the whole world is going to gather together to come against Jerusalem to fight against Jesus Christ. How stupid is that? I mean, the whole world. If you read your Bible, Revelation chapter 13, that's the beast coming out of the beast and the false prophet and so on, the unholy trinity. And then chapter 16, you find there's 200 million men gathered together to go destroy Jerusalem. Why do you think Jesus wept over Jerusalem? You know, the Bible says it's called the city of peace. They haven't had no peace. No peace. And that city is called the city of rejoicing. There is no rejoicing. Why? Right now, Jerusalem is surrounded with enemies, man. They're wanting to annihilate them. And the whole world, the Antichrist is going to persuade the world to go against Jerusalem. 200, I mean, you can't even imagine 200 million men marching, tanks, planes, everything to go against Jerusalem. And the Lord's going to say, oh, my Lord, these people are something else. They still reject me. You're sitting here this morning. Don't you reject him. Don't you reject him. Pride of man will cause you to reject him. There's tears, like I said, in the Bible. And God's going to laugh. And we don't read where Jesus laughed. But the Bible says he's going to laugh. Now, take your Bible, look with me. Look with me at another place about laughing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, right now is we're going to talk about, you don't have to walk around like you're, you know, just always sad. I'm not sad. I am not sad. I'm brokenhearted for some people, but I am not sad. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory inside. Yeah. There's a well, and if every Christian's saved and living for God, there's a well inside you. And I'll never forget when I used to be at Tabernacle, when things would get rolling down here, and Dr. Seidler would jump up on his seat, and Dr. Seidler would say, spring up, oh well. Amen. There's a well of living water inside of us that springs up. And look in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, look at verse 4. And the Bible tells us this is Solomon, the greatest, supposed to be the wisest man on the planet. And he says, there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Yes. And he says, man, there's a time to weep. You know, take your Bible, looking with me to Luke chapter 6. Look in Luke 6. Look what the Bible says. I've only found six times in the Bible. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 21. Luke 6, 21. Look here. Back up to verse 20. He says, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are they that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Go to your Bible, look in James chapter 4. Look at James chapter 4. Look at here. James chapter 4. Look over here. James 4. We're talking about weeping, but we're talking about laughing, talking about some other things here in a second. Look in James chapter 4. Look at what the Bible says. James 4. Now, we like to laugh. We all do. I like to laugh. I like to be happy. I like to, for people to think. I've walked into stores that people know me. They say, "Preacher, what's wrong? How come you ain't laughing, smiling?" And then I caught myself. I said, "What? Man, people are noticing that. I don't want them to notice that. I want them to know that I'm happy." Amen. The Bible says this, verse 8, James 4, it says, "Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you.
Yes.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself, therefore, in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up." And see, God notices weeping. And I said, God has a bottle. And he notices weeping, and when weeping touches the heart of God. And you know, you read in the Bible, and Isaiah came up to Hezekiah and said, "You better get your house in order, Hezekiah. You're going to die." And the Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, and he wept. And when Hezekiah wept, Isaiah's heading outside of Hezekiah's palace, and the Lord says, "Isaiah, stop." And Isaiah said, "Yeah, Lord."
"Yes, sir."
He said, "I want you to go back. Walk it back in the palace. Go back in the room where Hezekiah is dying.
Yeah.
And go tell him, I heard him crying.
Amen.
I saw him weeping.
Yeah.
You go tell him I'm giving 15 more years."
Amen.
Weeping touches the heart of God.
Amen.
You know what the Bible tells us? It tells us, it says that for us, look, go to your Bible, look in Psalms chapter 26. Psalms chapter 126, I'm sorry. Look what the Bible says. You know why we don't see as much fruit anymore? Here's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Psalm 126. Look what the Bible says. We're talking about weeping here. Talking about laughing. We're going to talk about something else here in a second. Psalm 126. Look what it says. Psalm 126, it says, and verse 1, "And when the Lord turned again to captive of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord have done great things for them. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad." And then it says, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall what?
Reap in joy."
They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
Sowing. Sowing is like putting out seed.
Amen.
And the Lord's talking about good seed. The word of God.
Yes, sir.
He said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." When's the last time you wept over your loved ones? I wept over my dad and my mom. I wept over my family. I wanted to see my family saved. And God honored that. God honored the tears that I shed from my body. I used to get in front of my dad and argue with him, yell at him. And my dad and I come almost to blows. My dad would say, "Oh, that's that blankety-blank stuff. I don't believe that blankety-blank Bible. I don't believe that blank." And then I found where I started weeping over him.
Amen.
And that changed everything.
Yes.
When my heart was broken.
Amen.
And I wanted to see my family saved.
Amen.
I didn't want my dad to go to hell. Why? I believe there's a hell.
Amen.
I believe there's a heaven. Because Jesus said it.
Amen.
I didn't want my mom and dad to go to hell. I remember I thought back years after my dad and mom got saved. I thought back. I remember laying in the bed at night as a kid praying that my mom and dad wouldn't go to hell. I wasn't even saved. God honors tears, folks.
Amen.
"Put thou my tears in thy bottle."
Amen.
Are they not written down in that book?
Yes.
When we get to heaven, we're going to face that book.
Yes.
The Bible says God writes down everything.
Yeah.
The Bible says every idle word a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Amen.
God, he knows the very hair on your head.
Amen.
It's all written.
Yeah.
Written in a book.
Amen.
Can you imagine you get to heaven and the Lord, you're saved. You get to heaven and God says, "Here's the book of Alan Ryman. Of his life. The book of Alan Ryman."
Yeah.
Be a terrible thing that if all I lived for was Alan Ryman. I got saved and I said, that's good enough. I'm going to take care of me and me only. I don't care about anybody else. That ain't what God wants it. God wants you, when you're saved, he wants you to live for him.
Amen.
Help your brothers and sisters and go after the lost. Weep over them.
Amen.
Your loved ones. Amen. Everybody comes to me, preacher, will you pray for this and pray for that? And I ask, have you prayed?
Yeah, come on.
You don't shed a tear over your loved ones? You don't care? You want somebody else to do the work? Because you always want to laugh.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with laughing. I love to laugh. I'm not going to laugh at the expense of sin. Look what the Bible says. He that goeth forth weepeth,
yes,
bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. With what? With what?
Joy.
With what?
Joy. Yes.
Bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Mm. There's tears of the Savior. There's tears of joy in the Bible.
Amen.
I mean, I watched Miss Holly and Tammy yesterday as Eric and Bethany walked down the aisle, tears, seeing their children make a commitment to each other and to God. There's tears of joy. There's tears of joy and Joseph had over his brethren. Genesis chapter 45, Joseph wept when he saw his brethren.
Amen.
The Bible says his brothers, the ones sold him into slavery. His brothers despised him. They hated him. And when he saw them come in, he wept over them. He forgave them. Some of y'all sitting here right now, you've got something against somebody. You harden yourself. You know what that does? It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. People say, oh, preacher, you just have too much compassion on people. I'd rather have compassion than be hard.
Amen.
Some of y'all are too hard.
Amen.
Just hard on people. Hard about everything. You're too hard. God's got to break you to make you soft, tender towards him.
Amen.
He has to break you. I want to stay broke before him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Tears of joy. Joseph wept over his brethren. Abraham, don't you know Abraham, when God called Abraham, told Abraham, said, Abraham, I want you to take your son. Well, said, what is that? That was a type. That was a type of his son. God wasn't going to stop the judgment on his own son. Abraham was a type. You read Abraham, God says, Abraham, here's the promised child. Jesus Christ is a promised child.
Amen.
Here's a promised child, Abraham. Here's what I want you to do, Abraham. Lord, and Abraham said, here I am, Lord. Whatever you say, I'll do it, Lord. Whatever you say.
Right.
I want you to take your son up Mount Moriah. I want you to slay him. Yeah. Offer him to me. What? I don't even think Abraham went, what? I think he went, all right, Lord. If that's what you want.
Yes. Fantastic.
When you can get to the place and you say, okay, Lord, I trust you.
Amen.
Come on.
No matter what.
Right.
I trust you.
Yes, sir.
No matter what calamities happen. No matter what heartaches happen. You get to the place of, okay, God.
Amen.
I trust you.
Amen.
I trust you more than anybody.
Amen.
I know I can trust you. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence
Amen.
In man.
Amen.
What happens is when things go wrong in our lives, we start getting mad at God. We get hard.
Yes.
It's a test. Abraham said, okay, Lord. He didn't tell mama. If he would have told Sarah, I'm going to take your son up to Mount Moriah because God told me to go ahead and slay him and kill him and everything. She would hit that boy. She would not let that boy out of her sight. He didn't tell her. He goes up. He's got some young men with him. Genesis chapter 22. You read it for yourself. He goes up there and he tells the boys at the top, at the bottom of the hill, said, you guys stay here. Me and the lad is going to go yonder and we'll come again.
Yeah.
You know what Abraham did?
Abraham believed God. If God told him to do something, God was going to do something, and God was going to raise him from the dead. He believed God. He didn't get hard. He didn't get mad. I've had to bury a lot of folks that I love. Tear my heart out. But I trust you, God. I believe you, God. I hope I don't have to do any more funerals. Hope I don't have to go through that anymore. It's tearing me up. The Lord knows that. I can trust him. You know what the Lord wants? He wants us to know a little bit about what he went through and what he goes through. He wants us to feel what he feels. Abraham believed God.
Amen.
I believe Abraham, I don't think Abraham, I believe he had tears of joy when God says, Abraham, raised his hand, getting ready to slay his son as on the altar of sacrifice. He had the wood. Little Isaac says, Father, he said, here's the wood. There's the altar, everything's here. Where's the sacrifice? He said, you know what Abraham said? Abraham said this. What a profound thing for a father knowing what he's going to do because God told him to do it. He said, God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
You talking about that's why Abraham's called the friend of God. He believed God. A lot of times people, man, think go through things. They'll go crazy. They'll drink. They'll drug. They'll curse God. They'll go through all. And they'll harden himself. There was tears of joy that day with Abraham. There was tears of joy for the prodigal son to see his son come home. Man, what a blessing. You know, the Bible doesn't talk about Jesus laughing. It talks about God laughing. But the Bible tells us that we're supposed to rejoice. Take your Bible looking. I'm going to have to hurry. Take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 12. Look in Romans chapter 12.
Amen.
We're supposed to rejoice. There should be a joy. You know that Bible says if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll have joy, peace, love. I can honestly say, as God is my witness, I do not hate nobody but the devil.
Yes.
And I wish I hated him a lot more than I'd hate him. Because then we wouldn't listen as much. I can honestly say that before God, I don't hate nobody. I love people. I want to see people saved. I don't understand what people do sometimes. I'll say, what an idiot. What an idiot. Can you believe that idiot did that? I'll say that. Or that idiot woman. What an idiot woman. But the Bible talks about rejoicing. And I can rejoice a lot of things. And I can laugh at things and rejoice. But in Romans chapter 12, look at verse 12. It says, back up to verse 9. Let's back up 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave that which is good. Be kind, affectionate one to another. With what? Brotherly love. And honor, preferring one another. What it's saying, you prefer somebody better than you. Say, you know, I prefer you guys, God is my witness, I prefer you better than me. You're better than me. And that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Prefer somebody better than you. Our problem is we get stuck on me. I deserve better because who I am. You get like that, you get stuck on stupid. I told you, I've got a shirt. I wore it the other day, wore it in the bank. And the shirt, I forgot what it, you know, the guy says, I agree with that. It says, stand back, stay back, I'm allergic to stupidity. And the guy at the bank says, I like that shirt, man. And then he did something, he goes, well, I guess you better get back. I started laughing. But look what the Bible says. Be kind, affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Now, you say, did you learn this right after you know, it takes a while to learn that. took, it's still taking, I'm still working. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. But you've got to allow him to work on you. Look what it says. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in what?
Hope.
Patient in what?
Tribulation.
Continuing instant in prayer. Take your Bible. Look in verse 15. Same. It says, rejoice with them that do rejoice.
Amen.
Weep with them that weep. Our church wept and still weeping. The Bible take your Bible, look in 2 Corinthians. Jesus wept. Am I better than my Lord? Like I said, before I was saved, I was taught not to weep. You show your weakness. But I found when a man weeps, it shows his strength. But it's still, there should be joy down inside, not bitterness. Say, are you bitter at God for taking your loved ones? No, I'm not. God have mercy on me. Job said, the thing I feared the most has come upon me. I pray God protect my grandchildren, my children. When my children leave my house and they drive to Georgia or to New York or wherever they go, I say, oh God, I get down praying. God protect them. Keep them safe. That's what you ought to be doing. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 10. Well, back up to verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, necessity, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonment, in turmoils, in labor, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. As known, and yet well known. As unknown, and yet well known. As dying, behold, we live. As chastened, not killed. As sorrowful, yet always what? Rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Paul wrote that down. He said rejoicing. We can rejoice. There's some things that we ought to rejoice over. Take your Bible, look in Psalms 107. I'm going to show you some things. The Bible tells us, my wife and I have been married we got married in 1976. This year was 40 years. I told my wife yesterday coming up here to the wedding, I said, you know, here we are 60 years old. Things are supposed to slow down for us. But they picked up. I said, but that's all right. As long as God gives us health and strength, I'm going to keep on. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, it says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Amen. My wife and I can rejoice over things that we see with our children, our grandchildren. We can rejoice together and praise God together. And what a blessing that is.
Amen.
That's a gift from God.
Amen.
Psalm 107, look at this. There's so much on rejoicing, so much. Psalm 107, if I can get there. Look what it says. God knows your broken heart. God's touched the tears. God will comfort those. The Bible says that God's going to comfort those that are of a broken heart, contrite spirit. Psalm 107, it says this in verse 22. Psalm 107, verse 22. It says, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with what? Look at Psalms 9. Look at Psalms 9. Go back to Psalms 9. Look what the Bible says. Psalms 9. We're going to go to New Testament here in a second. Psalms 9. I want you to see this. The Bible doesn't record Jesus laughing, but the Bible says he was joyful in the spirit. And after he resurrected, he came up, he rejoiced. Look at 9:14. Look at 9:14. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion, I will rejoice in thy what?
Salvation.
We're supposed to rejoice in our salvation. You know why you come in here? This when we start singing the songs of Zion, right when we first started, it's to get you to rejoice.
Amen.
Get your mind, you come in this doors, is to get your mind off your work, get your mind off all the stuff that you got to do, all your bills and all that stuff, and just rejoice in your salvation.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do. Rejoice in our salvation. Like I said, Jesus rejoiced. I believe he laughed. I believe he laughed at the disciples at times. I believe he laughed when he came out. He came out on the boat, and he was walking on the water, and the disciples, they were in there fearful. And he walked up, and he said, and they said, and he acted like he was going to walk on by them, and they were out there fighting the water and everything. Here they were, experienced fishermen, supposed to know what they're doing. You know, sometimes we think we know what we're doing, and we don't. I think the Lord gets a kick out of that. It's like watching a child. I've watched my grandkids and my children at times try to do certain things. And I watched him. I was riding down the road, me and Brother Jack, the other day. And my grandson, I call him Termite. And Termite's in the back seat. And we're riding down the road, and he's going, he loves this song. Jesus, what a friend. No, that's not the one. That's not the one. He said, amen, amen. What is the one? I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, no, that's not it either. That ain't it. No, no. Jesus, what? Hallelujah, what a Savior. That's what it is. We're riding down the road, and Jack and I'm driving, and Jack's sitting over there, and he's in the back seat, and he's going, Hallelujah, what a Savior. And you couldn't understand what, but I could understand halfway what he was saying, and we started laughing. We laughed about that. He was going, Hallelujah, what a, and man, to hear kids say that. I believe the Lord laughs at things that we do. Rejoices over the thing. Look in Psalms 9. Look at verse 14. Psalm 9:14. He says, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of Zion, daughters of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Now go to 19. Go to 19. Look at 19. 19. You said, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. God does. He knows. And there's a time when your heart's so heavy that you can't smile, Harley. And I've been there. And it bothered me when I walked in places and preacher said, and people would say to me, hey, preacher, what's wrong? And I thought, my Lord, I don't want them to even know. If I'm going through something, I don't want you to know. I just don't want you to know. I want to keep it to myself. He says, Psalm 19, verse 5, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, talking about the Lord, and rejoice as a strong man to run a race, talking about the Lord himself. Look at Psalm 33, Psalm 33, Psalm 33, verse 21. All the way through this Bible, you'll find tears, and you'll find where the Bible tells you to rejoice. Psalm 33 and verse 21. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hoped in thee. And then it says in verse 21, for our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. We started out Sunday school this morning singing Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
We started out singing that. Amen. Take your Bible, look in Proverbs chapter 24. Look what the Bible says. Now, I've read this. I read this after I got saved, and it scared me. It scared me. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17. And I have to ask God to forgive me at times with this verse. Look what it says. Rejoice not when thy enemies fall. You got somebody did something wrong to you? You know what Jesus said? He said, the New Testament, he said, be kind to them. Be good to them. He said, if you do that, it'd be heaping coals of fire on their head. And he said, your father knows, and he will repay. Then the Bible tells you, it says, don't rejoice when your enemies fall. Somebody's done you wrong. Somebody's done harm to you or said something about you. Don't get rejoicing over their fall. Ask God to help you have a broken heart for them. Say, Lord, have mercy. I've been down the streets When I first got saved and went on the street, people cussed me. I wanted to cuss them back. I wanted to say, "Ah, go to hell then. Go to hell." That's a baby Christian. But when somebody cusses me now, oh God, I say, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Don't let them die and go to hell. Please, Lord." You'll show your maturity if you do that. If you don't, you show your immaturity. It says, "Rejoice not when thine enemies fall." Look at 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter chapter 8. 1 Peter chapter 8. I got to hurry. 1 Peter chapter 8. 1 Peter chapter 8. I mean, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 1, 8. I'm sorry. The Bible tells us, verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You're going through a heavy trial.
Yes.
Trying of your faith. It says that's precious to God. See, our ways are not his ways.
Amen.
Our thoughts are not his thoughts. I want to see things more like he sees it. Look at verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. The Bible talks about rejoicing. I started out preaching about tears. In the Bible, there's tears of the Savior. There's tears of a soul winner. There's tears of a backslider. There's tears in hell. You know, the Bible talks about Esau. He sought carefully with tears, but he couldn't find repentance. He repented, but he couldn't find real repentance in his heart. Crying. There's tears of regret. Esau. Tears of gratitude. If you want, in your own heart, you say, "Lord, put thou my bottle or my tears in your bottle. And help me have gratitude. When I shed tears, no matter what it's for, help me be thankful.
Amen.
Help me be rejoicing, knowing that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life."
Amen.
And then the Bible says in Revelation 21, God's going to wipe away all
Amen.
Tears.
Amen.
There'll be no more crying.
Amen.
It tears me up to see people weeping. It does God as well. There's people around us that are hurting. People are weeping. And people need your prayers. You want to see them saved? Have compassion on them. You want to see people come to know the Lord? You better have concern. Jesus wept. There's tears of joy. We have joy down deep inside of us. One day we will rejoice forevermore.
Amen.
Forevermore.
Amen.
No more crying. No more
Amen.
Sorrow.
Amen.
Right now, you know, the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of laughter.
Yeah.
You know that? Why? Because a lot of times you go to the house of laughter, you always get into sin.
Yeah.
And all you think about, I just want to be happy. I want to be happy. I just want to be happy. So you'll do whatever it takes to make you happy. If you have a broken heart for people, man, love people. It says it's better to go to, the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of. Why don't you ask God to give you fruit? Why don't you weep over some of your loved ones? Weep over your children. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Why? Because he loved them.
Amen.
He could see what was going to happen. We don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Matter of fact, I don't even know what's going to happen within minutes from now. He does.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying walk around all the time, you know. I'm not saying that. But when things happen and you shed tears, and you have to shed tears, say, oh God, help me have gratitude. Help me be thankful.
Amen.
I mean, folks, this world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just a passing through.
Amen.
My treasures are laid up
Amen.
Somewhere beyond the blue.
Amen.
You're here today, you're not saved.
Come on.
Today is the day.
Amen.
Today. Joining the Baptist church ain't going to save you.
Amen.
Getting baptized ain't going to save you.
Amen.
Doing all, going to every different religion you can find ain't going to save you.
Right.
You coming to Jesus Christ like you are, confessing,
Amen.
I'm a sinner.
Amen.
I need to be saved.
Amen.
I'm asking you to, just like Brandon did, I need to be saved.
Amen.
God, come into my heart. This life is a veil of tears. This life can be whatever you make it to be. There's unexpected things that happen. We'll cry. We'll mourn. But still, we have joy down deep inside. I'm so glad that my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
I'm glad my mom and dad got saved. And
Amen.
All the loved ones I've seen saved.
Amen.
Why? When I go into heaven, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. There's going to be a time of shouting.
Amen.
For eternity. What a blessing that is. Better to go to the house of mourning
Amen.
Than the other.
Amen.
Ask God to give you tears for your family and friends.
Amen.
Ask God to help you be more like Jesus Christ. Be forgiving. Be compassionate. Don't be so hard. I've watched people, man, when everybody around the hope, I had a guy come to church here. He said, I don't understand your church. Man, everybody weeping and crying, all that bunch of babies. I said, when God gets a hold of your heart and squeezes, reaches in there and squeezes you one time, you'll see what I'm talking about. One Sunday morning, I watched this guy come forward. He's crying his eyes out. And he was going, I understand now. I understand. I understand.
Amen.
When God can break that heart and reach in and squeeze it, it'll come out of your eyes.
Amen.
You're here today, you're not saved. Don't leave this building without getting saved. I'm not asking anybody forward this morning. I just want you to remember. Examine yourself.
Yes, right.
Rejoice
Amen.
Evermore.
Yes.
But weep with those that weep. Mourn with those that mourn. There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
That's right.
My Father, thank you again today, God, for your mercy and grace. I pray you save that soul today nearest hell. And Lord, I know there right now people are crying in hell.
Oh, yes, Lord.
My God. My God, I can't imagine. I can't imagine any of my family going to hell. I can't imagine anybody going to hell. The Bible says hell wasn't made for man.
It's
made for the devil and his angels. But when they get there, they're crying all they can cry all they want. Ain't going to stop. Ain't going to start. Not going to get them out. My Father, I pray, God, that it'd be better if they cry here. And God, help us to weep over souls. Help Faith Baptist Church have a tender heart for the souls of men and for each other and bear one another's burdens. And Lord, I pray for my sister and the family. Lord, I pray God help them. And there's going to be a lot of tears shed.
Yes.
Years to come. I pray God you would allow her to rejoice. God, deep down in her heart.
Amen.
Comfort her, Lord.
Yes.
Help her to comfort those that need
Amen.
Comforting with the comfort that you give to her.
Oh, God,
help her to feel your comfort. Help her to feel your hand.
Amen.
Help her to know you're there. Help my brothers and sisters the same.
Grace
and help us not to run from you. Help
Amen.
Us not to run from this.
Amen.
God, because there is no place to hide.
That's right.
Help us to yield. Help us to trust and know that you're going to take care of things.
Amen.
My Father, help us to serve you.
Yes,
oh, God. And we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.